Okay. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love for all of us, showing us how to love each other, Lord, putting that deep, abiding love in us, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this past week, week and a half, 2 weeks, that every prayer that we prayed has been answered. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy's hoard against President Trump has been stopped for the time being. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in each one of us to continue to lift our president up and our cabinet and his cabinet up, Lord. George, I'm going to mute you. I'm going to keep it muted there for a while. I guess you're trying to put your headset on. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for blessing this fellowship tonight with your presence and your glory. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody on this fellowship tonight and those that are listening afterwards. And I thank you, Lord, that you're draining the swamp. And you're draining the swamp around us too, Lord, our flesh and the world. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your abiding love in each one of us too. That we would see each other through your eyes, Lord. And that we would get out from under this old fleshly life and walk only in the Spirit of God in our life. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that each one of us are maturing and getting on top of Mount Zion where you are, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your help and your overcoming power of the Holy Spirit to get us there. And I praise you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Because you're leading us, you're guiding us. And you're showing us what you want to talk about tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right, folks, this January is almost gone. Just a few more days. Has anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Anybody got any testimonies? Praise reports. Yep, and Matt, go ahead, brother.
Well, I have a prayer request. My grandma's been out of the hospital, in and out for last few weeks, and I had to put her in a I don't remember where, but I think more of like a rehabilitation, I think. But as I was talking to my mom Sunday, she said that grandma's getting weaker. But she's still, you know, very strong-willed and still has her mind about her, so. I just want to lift that up to the Lord.
Okay.
So, Lord, I thank you for the situation you put my family through, Lord. I thank you for trying to get a hold of my grandma, Lord, and I thank you that you're working all things out for your counsel, good Lord. Lord, I just pray that that if it is her time to go, Lord, that she would repent, Lord, and she would seek you in all this, Father. And if it isn't her time to go, Lord, that she would still repent and seek you, Lord. Lord, that you would open her eyes in all this, Lord, to see that she's got to let go of the unforgiveness and the bitterness. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we believe with Matt that his grandma's going to be saved before she goes, or saved and healed and lived a long time. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else?
I guess I need prayer for myself.
Okay, Barbara, go ahead. I'll get a minute, Denny.
I'm having trouble concentrating and putting words together during this this topic I'm on in the series, and I guess I'm just having a hard time focusing and just putting words. Not words are not coming to me. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what to say.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Now, we're going to pray. And you're going to believe, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus, I command this confusion, this mind altering spirit to go in Jesus' name. I command every tormenting spirit that's tormenting Barbara, unbelief, doubt, to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're placing great and bold faith in her, because she's a mighty woman of God. We believe it, we decree it, and we declare it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask and I pray that she puts her mind to this, and first, before she ever gets on to do this job that you've gotten her on, Lord, is that she would pray and seek yourself, Lord, in her life, and to have her guide you, her, and lead her, Lord, through this process, and that everything that comes out on the backside of it would be perfect, just like you want it, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that she's going to be such good at this work, that she's going to be putting out more than anybody. And I praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for placing in her bold faith to believe what your word says, and quit listening to the devil. And I thank you for it, Father. And I command those spirits that are talking to her and distracting her to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the mighty good work you're doing in Barbara. In Jesus' name. Amen, Barbara?
Amen. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, sister, you got it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Michael, oh, could I pray for you?
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you and praise you for your promise of household salvation, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to increase Barbara's faith beyond, way beyond what she already has now in this area. This is the series she's doing, and I rebuke every spirit that's attacking her in any shape or form, and trying to get her to doubt, not being able to even think of your promises and putting your word together. She's listening to it. She's hearing every bit of it in Jesus' name, and she's comprehending every bit of it in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to make her, you're making her stand strong and bold in declaring household salvation for every one of her children in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Is that the series she's on? Is that the series she goes? Okay. Praise God. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Barbara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Missy. Bless you, too.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Denny. Well, I can hear I can hear all the static, but I can't hear your voice. I don't know what's going on. Are you plugged in good? No, can't hear you. Make sure it's plugged in good, and I can hear the scratching and sound like you're plugging it in, but I can't hear your audio, your voice. I'm not hearing anything. Sorry. You can do sign language, but I can't read it. I don't know. Check your settings. Make sure your settings is okay. While he's doing that, has anybody else got a prayer request or praise report?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Marla.
Yeah, a praise report.
Go ahead.
We had two of our daughters home last week. And when the one from Oregon went back, the airline lost her luggage. And last night she called us. She's saying she sure hoped they would find it because she got had a lot of things in there that she'd really miss. And we told her, well, we know it's coming. They're going to find it because we prayed for it. And it wasn't 5 minutes after she had texted us before. She sent us another text and said, boy, God works fast because they just called and said that they found my luggage. So we just praise the Lord for answering her prayer.
Amen.
And being a good witness to her and her husband, because her husband really is not a believer at all.
He will be. Praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's always a good witness to our unsaved family members. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm not sure how long it's been since Merle told me this. The one elder that Merle's close to, his one daughter, she's 42, her name is Bethany. They were living in California and they moved to Oregon, and found out she had cancer, and they completely removed all her female organs, ovaries and everything. And she went to Texas to see if she was going to, I guess they did a real extensive, some kind of scan to see if there was a cancer anywhere else. And they found a small amount, two different places. I think one was her lungs. I forget where the other one was. Anyway, and they told her that she's going to have chemos. She went to Texas to get extensive scans to determine whether or not she was going to have chemo. And she's only 42 years old, and I think her oldest ones are maybe early teens or something. But anyway, so, I mean, they don't believe in divine healing. They don't, you know, believe that God still does that, you know, and stuff. And she is, I mean, she is a born-again believer. I believe she is, she's probably she's the last I knew, she's probably the one that's for lack of a better way of saying it, the greatest practicing or following the Lord closer than any of the other children. They have five of them. So I'd just like to pray for Bethany. Father, you know where she's at, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to meet her where she's at and bring her in to your greater truth. Bring people across her path, Lord, that give testimonies of your great, awesome, miraculous, divine healing. Or bring across her way some testimonies that she'd read or something, or she's even bring her across divinely bring her across to UBM site, and she'd read all the testimonies on there, Lord. Lord, just I just ask you to use this to draw her close, draw her to you even more, and that she would seek you even more and realize, Lord, that there's things in your word. Put questions in her heart about what she's been taught and all concerning healing, deliverance, and all these things. You know all the different doctrines that aren't according to your word, Lord, and I just ask you that you would enlighten the eyes of her heart, and that she would know the hope of your calling, Lord, to be perfected, to be come into your image, Lord, and that she can overcome the flesh, Lord, and part of that overcoming the flesh is your own works and trying to heal yourself, Lord. You're the Savior, Lord, and I just thank you for giving her this revelation and increasing her faith exponentially, Lord, and that I'm asking for a miracle, Lord, for her, and that you would use this to spread the truth through the rest of the family. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Is she Baptist? Or is no some well, other denomination?
It's a lot like Baptist. It's a lot like that.
Okay.
Don't call me Baptist. Okay. That's like a horrible thing. I know. That's how they would be like. They would be like, no!
They're not full gospel, though.
No. They say they think they are, but they're not.
Yeah. Hosea 4:6 comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, Lord, we just thank you for answering Missy's prayer, that you would open up her spiritual eyes to see the truth in the Word of God. Quit listening to man's theology. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What's her name, Missy?
Bethany.
Bethany. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Oh, Michael, can you hear me now?
I hear somebody. Somebody's talking.
Denny?
Denny? Denny who? Denny who? Oh, hey, Denny. Go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay. Real good.
We changed our earphones.
I can't hardly see you. You're fired around in the living room there or something. I don't know.
Holding the phone in our hands, that's why.
All right, yeah.
Okay,
go ahead. Updating. The computer is updating.
And so we couldn't get on that, and we had some earphones plugged in, but now we reduced it down to one earphone. So anyway,
okay, so, go ahead.
We're sharing it.
So we are hugging each other.
Well, all right, whatever it takes, brother.
I hear you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've been praying for my sister Joan, and we just got a call today. She was in the hospital and bloating up real bad, and they were doing quite a bit of dialysis and got her, it seemed like physically they got her back, and she was kind of losing her will to fight, you know, and just as of yesterday, it seemed like things were going in a good way, and they were talking about putting her in a nursing home and on a feeding tube until she starts eating better, but then today, she took a real sharp turn to the worse, and I just talked to her son, and he said they don't know if she'll make it through the night, is what they're diagnosing, but she's not conscious and struggling breathing, and so, but I just want to commit her to the Lord and trust her, and then they just, I don't know really where she's at with the Lord. Hasn't not been antagonistic, always been, favorable, and she has a daughter that's a believer that's been with her in the last several days, and, but anyway, so, I just lift going up to you, Lord, and God, we just entrust your soul to you. You know, God, and we're just hoping, Lord, that for her salvation, Lord, we just hope that. We thank you. We just we pray for it, God. We just believe she has responded to you, and With still hope of healing, we commit that to you, God, that she would bounce back from this, that she would regain and turn this into a favorable thing. So if anyone else wants to pray, if they have a discernment, go ahead and pray. So thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, now I can't hear.
Is this a friend of yours, Vinny?
It's my sister. My oldest sister, yeah.
Okay.
Been praying for her for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Joan is her name.
Right. Well, Lord, we just lift up Joan to you. We thank you, Lord, for our prayers that have been answered, Lord. We're not going to look at the natural. We're going to look at what the Word says. The Word says when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And Lord,
we're
coming up out of that bed of perfection and tell the people around her who done it. That it was you, Lord, and
Jesus.
It's going to be a
thank
glorious
you, Jesus.
Time in that hospital room.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Name. Thank you, Father. Glory.
Thank you, man. We thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I believe it. Y'all believe that? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, bro.
I don't know why it's off again.
All right, there we go. No, I was trying to raise my hand like, hello? No, it was, once y'all agree with me, I got another work situation. So, I mean, it's, to put it nicely, how many times around the block dealing with this situation. But I guess it was kind of a final nail in the coffin, you know, is what I want you to agree with me. But I also want to pray about or get prayer for myself. There was, I like how the Lord works. He'll give you just enough. When you're ready to hear something else that he's looking to clean up in you, he'll give you something more. And he gave me some more insight on something. But first of all, my work situation, a few of you who were local down there in Tennessee, I texted this past week and I had a near miss at work. On the forklift, near miss accident, very close, and this isn't the first time it's happened. It's happened multiple times in the past. And that's what I want to pray about is, I guess it was more of a final nail in the coffin just to say, hey, I need to deal with this issue. I need to pray against this. It's been like this since day one where I work at a very, very crazy environment, but it's also extremely unsafe at times, today and yesterday was, I really began to pray into it more, finally, at the time being, just kind of stopped being lazy and just, really prayed into it. But just the recklessness and the carelessness in some people that they're just so selfish and, they drive. For those who, I don't know if there's anybody who, I haven't told, I work in a warehouse. I drive a forklift for a living. And basically, there are a handful of people, maybe a little less than that, just at times, I know it's the enemy. They get very reckless and careless and they don't care who they'll affect, or even who they'll hurt, and I had an instance where, I wasn't really paying attention this past Friday and I almost got T-boned. I was going down an aisle way and someone was coming and they didn't stop at a intersection and they almost hit me. And I want to pray against this, but I want to pray most of all that there would be the Lord would cultivate in where I work at an attitude of safety. I think I work at a place where it's just, they pay lip service to it. They are fairly safe, but I don't think there's much of a culture where it's like, we care about safety. We truly care about everybody's, safety there. I just don't see that where I work at. So, I want you guys to, agree with me. But I think the Lord even, and I had to fight back unforgiveness, anger and unforgiveness towards this. But I think it's, the Lord revealed something to me, I think that was done to me, in my past with abuse. I used to always get, and I've seen this with others, it wasn't just my mother. But, I think when I did something wrong, I was always shunned for it. I was disciplined, but then I was shunned. There was this action like, my mom was very good at showing her, disgust at what I did. It was just this action like, I'm going to shun you. I'm going to, I'm going to make you feel rotten. You know, I'm going to make you feel bad for what you did. And I mean, it would go on for a while. So I see myself treating my coworkers like that from the time to time. I'm not sure what is causing that, you know, what spirits, whatever, but I'm finding myself doing that. You know, somebody who did me wrong, I will forgive them, but I don't know how, I don't go to them and say, hey, you know, I'm not mad at you. I don't know how to, you know, exactly. I mean, cause like whatever spirits or whatever attitudes, you know, that I picked up in the past, you know, it's easy just to kind of shun that person, say, okay, I'm gonna let you sit for a while and think about what you did. You know, what you did was wrong and I'm gonna let you know it. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they know, but when it's over, I don't really know how to go to, you know, tell them, hey, I'm not mad at you. But then, I mean, I guess I let it go for a while and then I eventually go back and talk to that person. I don't let them know I'm not disappointed at you, I've forgiven you, you know, and all that. So I want to pray against that, whatever that is. Cause I mean, I've found the Lord kind of, you know, revealed that to me saying, hey, you have this way of, you know, treating people like that, you know, and that came from your childhood. You know, it was done to you and you've developed this habit. So yeah, I just want you guys to agree with me. Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for just the Lord. Most of all, you know, I want to thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience, Lord, with me, you know, my many failures, my many times of just, you know, constantly, you know, disobeying and falling and just failing, Lord. I thank you that you're patient with me, you know, with my work situation currently, you know, that, you know, Lord, I thank you that you've been there, you know, with me, you've constantly been patient with me. And I thank you for that. You know, I'm truly grateful for that. Thank you that you haven't totally given up on me, said, well, you know, he's not getting it or he's not wanting to learn. So I'm done with him. I thank you that that's not you, Lord, and that you are patient beyond measure. We thank you for that attribute, that's what you are, God. And I thank you for that in my life, you know, that I've been a slow learner concerning this. Some things I haven't quite understood. Why is it, you know, that you're doing this? Why is it that this is the way it is? So Lord, I just, you know, I thank you for that. And I just pray right now, Lord, for my work. I thank you for the things you've already done, the lives you've changed to an extent, Lord. I thank you for the things that you have changed there. But Lord, I pray, you know, just right now in the management there, but not just the management, the fellow employees, you know, fellow guys I work with. And I mean, everybody, you know, doesn't matter the shift, that you'd begin to change their hearts, Lord, work in them an attitude of safety, you know, an attitude of just caring for one another's safety, you know, that it wouldn't be an environment any longer that, you know, they're everybody's out for themselves, you know, and it's just a selfish, reckless, you know, environment. I pray that that would cease. I come against any spirit or any stronghold that would, you know, cause this attitude, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. The angels give us, you know, go in and just expose the darkness wherever it may be, you know, and just root up these demons and get them out of there that cause this attitude. But Lord, give me discernment on how to pray, wisdom and discernment on how to pray in this area. You know, what exactly is causing that? You know, so I mean, I thank you that you've given me grace and strength, you know, these past 2 days to pray against it and to be persistent, to not be slack and just to kind of say, well, I'm not seeing the results I want, so I'll just give up. No, I thank you for the persistence you've given me. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray that, you know, that it would be an environment safe for everybody, that there would be no more accidents, that there would be no more near misses, and that just, you know, if it does happen, that the company would take it serious. You know, management would take these things serious. They wouldn't make excuses for somebody. They wouldn't just say, well, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it's always been. Or, you know, and even they wouldn't be fearful, Lord, of reprimanding and even disciplining those individuals who don't have a problem being reckless, Lord. I think I see a lot of that fear. I command that fear as well to go. All that fear of just retribution, fear of retaliation, you know, fear of disciplining those who need it. You know, I command those spirits to go and to, you know, get out of the place. And I thank you, Lord, for just what you're going to do there. And Lord, I just come against whatever spirits, whatever attitude this is in me, Lord. Change my attitude, Lord. Help me to be an individual that's, you know, not just quick to forgive, but shows it, Lord. You know, it was never shown to me growing up, and it's, you know, and so I ask, Lord, that you would work that in me. work that in me, is one that, you know, immediately when I forgive somebody, I will go up to them and say, hey, I don't hold anything against you. I forgive you. Lord, work that attitude in me. And I command everything, every demon that just causes me to shun people, causes me to kind of, you know, hold them at a distance and make them feel rotten, to get out of me now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for these things, Lord God. I thank you for just continue to work on me. And I thank you for the work that you've already done and that you are continuing to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. There's a couple of things that I see, Joe, that God's doing with you. One of them is, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to break that generational curse off of you. And not only that, we're going to pray against this spirit of rejection one more time, and you're not going to have to bring it up anymore because you're free from it. You can't say, well, I've had this. You can say, I'm a child of God now, because we prayed it off of you in the name of Jesus right now. I come against that spirit of rejection on Joe. I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the fear of rejection to go in the name of Jesus. Self-condemnation, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that Joe is free of those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, one other thing. What if the Lord has got you in that place and he is teaching you through these other men how to forgive instantly and to see only that they are being guided by demons? It's not them, it's the demons in them, okay? And that you are the light that he's put in that place to change the atmosphere. And when you put that responsibility upon yourself, then you'll gain that time in the mornings to pray before you go on there. Lord, I thank you that today I am going to be that light that you want me to be. And I thank you, Lord, that when these circumstances come before me, that I'm just going to smile, I'm going to back up, let them go, wave at them real friendly like, and then go on and do what you got to do instead of getting mad. And just see the love of Jesus. You look through the love of Jesus to them and say, now, whatever I do today is going to affect his whole eternal life. You understand? And then when you do that, your attitude will change. Their attitude will change. Next thing you know, you've got a smooth environment in which to work in because of what you've done and through the Lord. Okay? That's what I see. Anybody else got something? I see it as an opportunity, Joe. I see it as an opportunity for you to grow and overcome. And not only that, to bring a bunch of men to Jesus in there. If nothing else, to have safety. Pray into that place.
Amen. Amen. Right. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Go ahead, Sue.
Lord, Lord, I just pray for Joe, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to give him some time in the morning before he even gets to work to spend some time with you and just enjoy you and get built up in your spirit. His spirit, that his spirit man would be built up in you and be able to pray against any demons that would come and bother him at that job, that he would be able to be ready to fight the battle in the spirit before he gets there, before he gets to work, that he would be up and full of your spirit, that he'd be able to go forth and minister to those people and minister your love and be able to discern and be able to recognize the works of the enemy and the people. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And before you go to work, you just say this. We have today patience in this place, peace in this place, joy in this place, no more recklessness. It makes no difference what happens. Just say it anyway. Just say it, because what you speak with your mouth affects everything around you and everybody around you. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I'm looking for a good report next time.
Amen. I actually did that. You know, I think it was yesterday or today. I just spoke that. Once again, you know, I mean, I've done that before, but I said, I just, Lord, put a spirit of peace, just willingness to work with one another and all that, and it changed. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Barry. Yeah, just a minute, Denny.
Okay.
I'll get you. Okay.
We prayed for my sister a couple of weeks ago, I think. And she had some kind of serious problem where she was only able to eat Jell-O. It's the only thing she could keep down. And she went in, had some tests run and procedures and all kinds of stuff that didn't sound like very much fun to me. And they didn't find any physical problem. They put her on some kind of medication that has allowed her to eat. And so she didn't require surgery. It was nothing terribly serious. And, you know, we prayed for her, and I'd have to consider that a praise report that she's come out without any complications and without further medical intervention needed. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. She can eat hot dogs and bologna sandwiches now?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. She's got a great praise report coming. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Barry. Anything else? All right.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, just real quick. I go to a forum frequently, and one of the things that was brought up on the forum is this little fella named Caleb, just born. I guess he's about a month old now. When he was born, he had heart problems. Problems with his lungs, couldn't breathe, infections, and, you know, they were expecting for him to, you know, not make it. And he's been, you know, fighting his way through it. And the people on this forum were asking for prayer for him. And in the last few weeks, he's gotten a whole lot better. And they're doing what they can to wean him off of assisted breathing, you know, however they do that. And there's a couple other little things, but they're trying to get him home. He was born a little bit premature. He's never been home. He just lived in the hospital his short life. And it looks like that's coming to a close. I'm really thrilled about that. It shows the power of group prayer among the people on that forum to lift him up and for him to experience real divine healing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to pray for Joe too. The enemy would like to take you out in a way to, you know, to kill you're the light in that place and the gospel, and the enemy would try to kill you even, you know. So we just pray for your protection there, that God, you would sovereignly protect Joe. Bind Satan, we bind the enemy from trying to take him out or harm him or take him out, get him out of there or through injury or some way. And we just thank you that his light will shine in the meantime. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I just wanted to pray for Joe as well on that. Father, I would thank you for the strength that you're putting in Joe and the wisdom that you're giving him. Lord, we just thank you for your word, that when we continue on in your word, you provide us with that truth that sets us free. And I thank you for that, Lord. We thank you and look forward to the full manifestation of that truth and that freedom for Joe to walk in. But also, Lord, I pray that you would change the hearts of his employer, that you would change the hearts of the thinking in the management there, that they would start to grasp the significance and the importance for proper control of safety and making sure that I mean, maybe there's situations where they shun safety or discount safety, put it to the side in order to be able to work faster or whatever the thing would be. That's a common situation in all of our employment environments, Lord, or most of them anyway. I know it is pretty heavy in the construction area, but I also know, Lord, that a major amount of that environment changing has to do with those in control and leadership in a company and what they will allow and what they won't allow. So, Lord, I pray that you give Joe specifics to pray for his boss, for the management there, that they would start to see the need enforcing safety and all its avenues there, Lord. I was also ask you to just show them the importance of the financial benefits of keeping a safe work environment. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the truth that you've given us again to set us free. And so we just trust you for your guidance. We commit this thing under your hands, and we thank you for bringing it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Judy, you look like you're fixing to touch the button. Are you fixing to touch the button? Oh, okay.
All right. We're just looking to see who's on.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you see anybody you know? Well, it works better when you unmute yourself, but that's okay. All right, anyone else? I got a something that I would like to read tonight that the Lord impressed upon me to read to you, and it's out of Andy's book. I don't remember what chapter that Missy read last week or week before that, whatever it was. But I came across this tonight, this afternoon, and I read it, and I said, my goodness, I have to share this. And I want to share it, and I want you to listen to the words and listen to the scriptures that are quoted in here also. It's called, As Christ in the Father. And he quotes John 15, 9 through 10. As the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love, even as I abide in his love. Christ had taught us disciples that to abide in him was to abide in his love. The hour of his suffering was near, and he could not speak much more to them. Doubtless, they had many questions to ask as to what abiding in him and his love is. He anticipated and met their wishes and gave them his own life as the best exposition of his command. As example and rule for their abiding in his love, they had to look to his abiding in the Father's love. In the light of his union with the Father, their union with him would become clear. His life in the Father was the law of their life in him. The thought is so high that we can hardly take it in, yet it is so clearly revealed that we dare not neglect it. Do we not read in John chapter 6 and verse 57, As I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And the Savior prays so distinctly, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and they in me, John 17, 23-23. The blessed union of Christ with the Father and his life in him is the only rule of our thoughts and expectations in regard to our living and abiding in him. think first of the origin of that life of Christ in the Father. They were one, one in life and one in love. His abiding in the Father had its root. Though dwelling here on earth, Jesus knew that he was one with the Father, that the Father's life was in him and the Father's love on him. Without this knowledge, abiding in the Father and his love would have been utterly impossible. And it is only thus that you can abide in Christ and his love. Know that you are one with him, one in the unity of nature. By his birth, he became man and took your nature that he might be one with you. By your new birth, you become one with him and are made a partaker of his divine nature, it tells us in 2 Peter 1 and 4. The link that binds you to him is as real and close as the link that bound him to the Father, the link of divine life. Your claim on him is as sure and always availing as was his on the Father. Your union with him is as close. And as it is the union of a divine life, it is one of infinite love. In his life of humiliation on earth, he tasted the blessedness and strength of knowing himself the object of an infinite love and of dwelling in it all the day. And from his own example, he invites you to learn that herein lies the secret of rest and joy. You are one with him. Yield yourselves now to be loved by him. Let your eyes and heart open to the love that shines and presses in on you on every side. Abide in his love. Think then too of the mode of that abiding in the Father and his love that is to be the law of your life. John 15:10 says, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. His was a life of subjection and dependence, and yet most blessed. To our proud, self-seeking nature, the thought of dependence and subjection suggests the idea of humiliation and servitude. In the life of love that the Son of God lived and to which he invites us, they are the secret of blessedness. The Son is not afraid of losing anything by giving up all to the Father, for he knows that the Father loves him and can have no interest apart from that of the beloved Son. The Son knows that as completely as he is dependent on the Father, so completely does the Father communicate all he possesses to the Son. Hence, when he had said the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, he added at once, what things soever the Father doeth, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And the believer who studies this life of Christ as the pattern and the promise of what his may be learns to understand how the without me you can do nothing is but the forerunner of I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We learn to glory in infirmities, to take pleasure in necessities and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I am strong, he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. We rise above the ordinary tone in which so many Christians speak of their weakness while they are content to abide there, because we have learned from Christ that in the life of divine love, the emptying of self and the sacrifice of our will is the surest way to have all we can wish or will. Dependence, subjection, self-sacrifice are for the Christian, as for Christ, the blessed path of life. As Christ lived through and in the Father, even so the believer lives through and in Christ. Think of the glory of this life of Christ in the Father's love. Because he gave himself wholly to the Father's will and glory, the Father crowned him with glory and honor. He acknowledged him as his only representative. and he made him partaker of his power and authority. He exalted him to share his throne as God. And even so will it be with him who abides in Christ's love. If Christ finds us willing to trust ourselves and our interests to his love, if in that trust we give up all care for our own will and honor, if we make it our glory to exercise and confess absolute dependence on him in all things, if we are content to have no life but in him, he will do for us what the Father did for him. He will lay his glory on us. As the name of our Lord Jesus is glorified in us, we are glorified in him. He acknowledges us as his true and worthy representatives. He entrusts us with his power. He admits us to his counsels as he allows our intercession to influence his rule of his church and the world. He makes us the vehicles of his authority and his influence over men. His spirit knows no other dwelling than such and seeks no other instruments for his divine work. Blessed life of love for the soul that abides in Christ's love, even as he in the Father's. Believer, abide in the love of Christ. Take and study his relation to the Father as pledge of what your own can become. As blessed, as mighty, as glorious as was his life in the Father, can yours be in him? Let this truth, accepted under the teaching of the Spirit in faith, remove every vestige of fear, as if abiding in Christ were a burden and a work. In the light of his life in the Father, let it henceforth be to you a blessed rest in the union with him, an overflowing fountain of joy and strength to abide in his love, his mighty, saving, keeping, satisfying love, even as he abode in the Father's love. Surely, the very greatness of our calling teaches us that it never can be a work we have to perform. It must be with us as with him, the result of the spontaneous outflowing of a life from within and the mighty inworking of the love from above. The only thing we need is this: to take time and study the divine image of this life of love set before us in Christ. We need to have our souls still unto God, gazing upon that life of Christ in the Father until the light from heaven falls on it and we hear the living voice of our beloved whispering gently to us personally the teaching he gave to the disciples. Soul, be still and listen. Let every thought be hushed until the word has entered your heart too. Child, I love you even as the Father loved me. Abide in my love, even as I abide in the Father's love. Your life on earth in me is to be the perfect counterpart of mine in the Father. And if the thought will sometimes come, surely this is too high for us. Can it really be true? Only remember that the greatness of the privilege is justified by the greatness of the object he has in view. Christ was the revelation of the Father on earth. He could not be this if there were not the most perfect unity, the most complete communication of all the Father had to the Son. He could be it because the Father loved him. He abode in that love. Believers are the revelation of Christ on earth, and they cannot be this unless there is perfect unity, so that the world can know that he loves them and has sent them. But they can be it if Christ loves them with the infinite love that gives itself and all it has, and if they abide in that love. Lord, show us your love. Make us with all the saints to know the love that passes knowledge. Lord, show us in your own blessed life what it is to abide in your love. And the sight will so win us that it will be impossible for us, even for one single hour, to seek any other life than the life of abiding in your love. Praise be to God. That's the love God's looking out of each one of us, so that we walk with that eternal love of Jesus in us at all time and be aware of it. Father, we thank you for putting that before us tonight, and that we will do what you've asked us to do, to abide in your love for everything, in everything, and out of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. What y'all think of that? I thought it pretty neat myself.
Amen. What happened?
I have no idea.
We're just waiting on you.
Oh, I lost your picture.
Well, yeah, that's because I turned it off.
Oh, okay.
As you were, go ahead.
As you were reading that, this song was coming to me, so if you don't mind me sharing a song.
No, go ahead.
If we have love, Jesus love. If we have love, Jesus love. We can change the world through him. We can change the world by him. If we have love, Jesus love. If we have love, Jesus love, we can change the world through him. We can change the world by him. Set the captives free to bring deliverance to them. Bring healing to their lives. Bring healing to their hearts. Through Jesus, his mercy and grace. Through Jesus, his living word. Through Jesus, his love. His precious love. His precious love. His precious love. His love. If we have love, Jesus love. If we have love, Jesus love. We can change the world through him. We can change the world by him. By him. Through him. Amen. I shortened it.
Well, it's a good song. It was appropriate to what I just read. Yeah.
That's why the Lord gave it to me. It just came out of my.
Is that one that you had written?
Years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
There was something I read the other day, and it coincides with what you read, and it's Andrew Murray's book, The Prayer Life, and it's chapter 6, and this one paragraph, the second paragraph in the beginning of that, is good here, that goes along with what you're reading, and it goes, well, let me just preface it with Andrew Murray. This book, he I'm trying to find the words here. He presents the issue of prayerlessness, you know, in the church. So that's basically what this book is about. But anyway, so the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. He is definitely called by this name in Zechariah 12:10, the spirit of grace and of supplications. Twice in Paul's epistles, there is a remarkable reference to him in the matter of prayer. Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Galatians 4:6. Have you ever meditated on these words, Abba Father? In that name, our Savior offered his greatest prayer to the Father, accompanied by the entire surrender and sacrifice of his life and love. The Holy Spirit is given for the express purpose of teaching us from the very beginning of our Christian life onward to utter that word in childlike trust and surrender. In one of these passages, we read, "We cry," in the other, "He cries." What a wonderful blending of divine and human cooperation in prayer. What a proof that God, if I may say so, has done his utmost to make prayer as natural and effectual as though it were the cry of a child to an earthly father, as he says, "Abba, Father."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Sure.
So when we pray, we're communicating to God.
Yeah, it just, when I was reading this, it just really impressed me, you know, we can have that same relationship with the Father that Jesus had. And it's just the same as, you know, just talking to our earthly father, you know, asking him, you know, when we're a little child, asking him things, asking him to help us, you know, go to him just like we did when we were little and we really depended on our parents, you know, in this case, our father, for everything, you know, and sought his approval. And didn't want to disappoint them or be disobedient to them, you know. I mean, I've seen children, you know, that were so sensitive to being disciplined, you know, just even, you know, just a scolding, you know. And it's like, yeah, Lord, Father, just that we would just desire to be obedient to you to that extent and just have that fellowship with you and you know, I'm thinking about how about what Joe was sharing earlier. You know, the father is, I mean, think about the prodigal son when he came back and he says, "I'm not worthy." But the father, you know, went running towards him. You know, we have such an awful concept of the father, you know, our heavenly father, because of you know, our childhood experiences, he really is not harsh. He's very gentle. He's very kind, very gentle, very kind. And we have his spirit as the comforter. I mean, it's his spirit that he speaks to us through, you know, and it's the comforter. It's the comforter. That's not harsh reprimanding. Oh, we know that when we're, even as we're children, we're willfully disobey that, you know, the our parents would come down on us harder. And that's how the father is. And, you know, when we know to do good and doeth it not, you know, this is sin. But anyway, But, you know, it says in the word that he doesn't discipline us to what we deserve. He doesn't. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, didn't the disciples say, Lord, we left all, you know, and the Lord told them, you know, you'll receive a hundredfold in this age, you know, and, but, you know, it's God that worked in them. It's, you know, it's God that works in us everything. You know, it's all by his grace that we are anything. And you know what? He's the one that does all the work. And he rewards us. He still rewards us. He still rewards us. I mean, that's the epitome of grace when you think about it. But I was just like, so like the Lord just really pointed that out to me, you know, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want any kind of reward. All I want is you. I want more of you. I want you to shine out of me. And him rewarding me, he does, you know, by our obedience to the word, we, you know, the flesh dies and we gain more of the Lord. But he even rewards us in this age, you know. You know, it's like I'm almost afraid to ask him for anything, in a sense that it's like I don't want to be rewarded. I don't want that to be my motive for obeying the Lord. I want my motive to be in gaining the Lord, not a reward of anything earthly. And it's like I'm almost, I'm like, I've stopped and I've thought about, you know, asking the Lord, you know, it's like I don't want to be rewarded with anything earthly. I'm not asking that, but I know that he's gonna reward me. But it's like I don't want that to be my motive for wanting to be obedient. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
I remember something that Andy said. Once he said that, Lord, I want my prayers to you not be for my gain other than you, Lord. Even the kingdom of heaven, I don't want. All I want is you. And what he was saying was just what Missy was saying. I don't want anything but you, Lord. Anything else gets in my way, get it out of the way. I just want you. I don't want to seek your hand. I want to seek your face, Lord. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to be able to be led by your still small voice every time that you speak to me. I don't want to miss anything. And I thought that was so profound. That he told the Lord, you know, I'll miss heaven if I can just walk with you and talk with you. Of course, you know, what does I do? If you do that, you're going to be there. But the inference was that he didn't want anything to interfere with his communication and love of the Lord for him. And he wanted to do everything that God wanted him to. Be obedient to, like Misty was talking about, to gain the approval of the Lord. Amen. Anyone else want to speak about the love of Christ in you and through you? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, actually, I got a question for you, Missy. You said something there, and I'm not quite sure what you meant. You said the Bible, or I guess Jesus. You know, I'm not sure what in the Bible you were talking about. He doesn't give us discipline that we deserve, I believe you said. What did you mean by that? Because I was thinking, I guess the first thing I thought, wait a minute, don't we need discipline? What did you mean by that?
In other words, he's not harsh on us. In other words, he's, you know, well for instance, why would the, I forget where it's at, Paul said about fathers not to provoke your children or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, don't be so hard on them. You know, don't be so hard on them that it discourages them or whatever. I forget where that's at. I have to look it up. I think it's either Ephesians or Colossians or something. Anyway, so that's what I'm saying. You know, if that's in his word, then the father is not going to be that way with us either.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
But also there's somewhere, I forget where it's at. I'll have to see if I can find it. There's somewhere in the Old Testament, though, I'm almost positive, in the Psalms or Proverbs.
I think it's Proverbs.
About that he does not discipline us according to what we deserve. That's Missy's paraphrase. I forget how it goes, but I don't know if anybody knows where that might be, but.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's what I was saying.
Okay. Gotcha.
He's much kinder and gentler and loving than we think he would be.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but don't at the same time you don't want to. You know, you take that as a, you know, thinking that God's going to let you slide through and,
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he disciplines those whom he loves, but not to the extent that what we might think or what somebody else might think. But anyway, I'll see if I can find that. I'm not sure. Where.
Okay. Hey, man.
I bet somebody's already got it. Let me know. All right, anybody else? Would have a question or a comment or a statement? Yeah, Joe. Or Willie, I'm sorry. You got a cigarette hanging out of your mouth? Oh, boy. I tell you.
I was writing, so I had to get into my writer's mood. When you were reading that article, you know, the thing that kept popping up in my mind as I was praying, you know, in his humiliation, our exaltation is made perfect. In his humiliation, our union with the Father was made perfect. You know, in his humiliation, you know, there's a couple of things, but he kept using the word humiliation, you know. And when you think about doubting something, you know, you think about his humiliation, you know. In his humiliation, you know, grace was made perfect for you, you know. Or you were made perfect in grace. And you just start applying, you know, what he suffered in his humiliation, you know. You were made sinless, you know. If we would just, you know, take upon that nature, you know, of his humiliation, you know, on not, you know, there are a lot of things that can make us ashamed of having that type of mindset. But the, you know, the humiliation thing kept popping up in my mind, you know, in this humiliation, you know, we're perfectly delivered from sin, you know, And of course he did it all by grace, but there's nothing, that can discount the power of his sufferings, what he suffered for us from when we're praying for people, and that little bit of doubt start creeping in your mind, you look at his humiliation, and his humiliation, my mama be here, in his humiliation, that baby's gonna live, because of his humiliation, that sickness has to go, and when, it just gives another neat little aspect about why grace was even given, in his humiliation, he made the way. I would kind of like to say it this way. He made the way perfect for us to enter into grace. And when we think about ourselves, things we think that will never change in us, in this humiliation, I was made a new creature. He suffered everything. His humiliation is a perpetual miracle for our lives. Anything you think that is past, the power of not being able to be greater than what he'd suffer, And I find it amazing, in this humiliation, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, in his humiliation, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy. How the heck do we see that? Through his humiliation. And I'm not just talking about his sufferings, the way he humbled himself, was unprecedented, was an unprecedented event never seen in the kingdom of heaven, never. I can imagine all of heaven being like, what? Angels being like, what? Do you know what he looked like? And so it just kept popping up, that word humiliation. But yeah, I'm done. I just wanted to share that. I thought that was kind of neat.
Amen. It was kind of neat. Go ahead, Missy.
I found a slew of verses.
Okay.
Okay. Psalm 103, 8 to 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. In Psalm 130, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? There might be more to that, but that's just a cross-reference that's popping up here for me. Ezra 9, 13, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such a remnant. Nehemiah 9:31. Nevertheless, in thy manifold mercies, thou didst not make a full end of them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Job 11:6. and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, for he is manifold in understanding. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's loving kindnesses that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Anyway, Daniel 9:18-19. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercy's sake. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And then Habakkuk 3:2. O Lord, I have heard the report of thee and am afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. A lot of encouraging verses there, Joe. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yep, there's a lot of them. I like the one in Psalm 103:10. I think that's the initial one you were talking about. He has not dealt with us after our sins, praise God, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. Thank you again. Amen. Yeah, Joe.
That's a good one against rejection. I mean, for a while there, I kind of was always thinking, okay, you know, you said it, Michael. And I know David, with that message the other week about the fear of rejection, that really spoke to me. And I was like, what are some verses? And I thought, this is perfect. You know, he hasn't rejected you. It says then there in verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. You know, he won't be angry forever. Doesn't sound, you know, he won't reject you totally. I mean, if he rejected you, he wouldn't be too happy with you. So I thought, wow, yeah, that's a great verse. When those thoughts come in mind, just start, you know, say, nope, hold up, nope, he hadn't rejected me, no. So, amen.
You know, that's the thing about it. We can't comprehend or understand God's grace. I'm telling you, it has no bounds. It looks like. Until you come to the knowledge, you know, we all know about that. We don't have to worry about that. But his grace is so far out there, it just amazes me all the time, you know. It's just good. Thank you, Lord. We got a Lord like that. Yeah, Leah.
Well, I'm actually
the
fact that he's forgiving God. And if you do happen to sin, as long as you confess it, he'll forgive you and strengthen you after that. And, I mean, if you hide the sin, then there's going to be some penalty to pay, you know, because it chastises people that hide their sin. But if you confess it, he's merciful. He's long suffering. He just wants his people to confess and move forward. And I love that about him. I have problems now and then, and I confess them. So I like that part.
That's the great part about it, is confessing it. A lot of people don't want to confess it if they have a little bit of rejection, you know, or something like that, because they don't want people to understand it. But I'll tell you something, rejection keeps you from doing it again. I mean, confession will keep you from doing it again. If you confess to your brother, you know, somebody you trust, it won't be spreading it out, you know. You confess to them, and they'll hold you accountable, you know. They'll watch you, and they'll help you out. And the Lord man, that always comes back to your mind. Okay, now, if I do it again, I got to go confess again. I don't want to have to do that no more. That's what it does for me anyway. Yeah, I don't have to do it anymore. I overcome because of wanting to please God more than I want to please my flesh. Putting it into practice is allowing God to work through you. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to overcome those things that I've hindered you in the past. And I'm talking from experience now. All right, anybody else? Hey, Tim.
Hi, y'all. Hey, looking in Isaiah just now, and the first couple of verses of chapter 12 kind of elaborate on what the myth of Job is talking about. The rest of you probably, I'm sorry, joined late, but I'll just read 12:1-2. In that day, thou shalt say, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, for thou wast angry with me, my anger is turned away, thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my comfort. He has become my salvation. But he is merciful, even though he can be angry with us, he's got a lot of grace for us, he's got a reason for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. Anyone else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
I just wanted to just put a little addendum onto that. Is I've been spending a lot of time in Isaiah lately. I can't seem to get quite out of it. I get to the end, and I come to the end because there's so many nuggets in the book, so many correlations to the New Testament, so many promises, and just fascinating me. And I keep getting stuck. I get to Jeremiah, and I go, oh, I better read this. I go back to the first of Isaiah and start over. Anyways, I'd encourage all of you to Isaiah a little bit. Good.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Missy.
I was just looking some more at these verses there in Psalm 103. I don't think I read 11, 12, and 13. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This one I like, talking about the Father. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I thought that was interesting. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Yep. So, anyway.
Amen. Yeah, I was looking at that earlier, too. That's good. Anybody else? How many of you want that love of Christ in your life? You know, I do, man. I want it, and I want all of it. I want everything he can give me. But the problem is, walking out of this flesh, right? A lot of time. Problem is getting rid of the flesh. Well, we don't even have to do that. We just have to allow the Lord to do that and just keep our eyes on him. All right, I'm going to walk just like Jesus today. Remember, 2 Corinthians 3:18? Seeing Jesus in the mirror. Is it second or first? One of them Corinthian boys. It's looking at Jesus in the mirror and then walking out the house in the morning. I'm going to be just like, I'm going to step in every step that I know he takes and just make it a habit of, Lord, take my hand. It's like a word I got here a while back. Michael, just give me your hand and I'll lead you the whole way. Quit trying to get ahead of me. And if you do that, you'll be okay. You're on the right road, but you just got to take my hand. And that's what we have to do. We have to relinquish our flesh and allow him to take us to that place that he wants to take us. And that's abiding in him, looking like him. Then we start taking on that look like Jesus area. Hey, Julie. Okay, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I have a song to share, and it's those scriptures that Missy was just sharing. Okay. Psalm 103, before 10, and then that last verse, as far as the heavens are far high above the earth, I think it's 11 maybe. And was wondering about it and singing it or not. And then she brought that out just a minute ago. As I thought, okay, I think I should share it. So can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I sure can. You go right ahead.
Okay. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, from them that fear him.
Amen. Amen. That was good. Man, we got some talent here. I'm going to tell you something. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else want to sing a song? Hey, Jerry, you don't sing a song? Amen.
Someday I'll sing a song couple other people, not myself.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, we'll get to listen to Debbie and Sue as a duet at times, and it's really good. It's really awesome. I enjoy it. Then some one of these days we're gonna get Willie to play that wooden sax. He gonna be sounding just like John Coltrane. All right, let's see. Go ahead, Missy.
There's two little phrases in the word that just really impresses me about the Lord, and one is he learned obedience, and that I forget exactly how it says it, but that he was perfected through suffering, you know, which reminds me of this is how I know. I don't know exactly how it maybe I'll look it up. I think it's Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, but has been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Okay, yeah, here it is. Hebrews 4:14. Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one in all points tempted like as we are, without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need.
Amen. You better feed that dog.
He learned obedience? I'm like, that just really makes me go tilt.
Well, he grew up too, didn't he?
Right. When's the last she's been out?
I'm sorry, hold on a second.
Yeah, he learned obedience. He didn't just be born and knew everything. Joseph taught him. Mama taught him.
Yeah, but, I mean, but he was without sin, too, you know. It's like he never messed up. I mean, that's just, but, you know, but he had the Holy Spirit in him even in the womb, you know, but he was anointed for his ministry when John baptized him. But I mean, so even as a child, just like us, even as a child, we need to be, you know, a child of the Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to have the power to obey, you know, mm-hmm. to come against our flesh. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know, that just really makes me go tilt. he learned obedience.
Well, praise God.
And
well,
he was made perfect through sufferings, just like we're made perfect through sufferings. He was like that says there in Hebrews, you know? He went through the very same things that we've gone through and worse.
Yeah.
You know. He paid it all for us. He did it all for us. That's just he's deserving and worthy of all our love and our praise and our obedience and our worship.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Thank you, Lord.
Yep, I believe it. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, those two words here, that little phrase where, you know, he learned obedience, that's we you know, put Christ as we worship him on such a pedestal that we kind of imagine, at least for myself, that, you know, that he was always perfect, always obedient to the word, that, you know, it's something that we, you know, it makes it that much harder for us to attain to, where, when you put it in a perspective that he learned obedience, that that doesn't bring him down to our level, but it maybe makes it easier for us to rise to his level. If we look at it that way, that it's the learned behavior, you know, through grace and through studying the word and stuff, but it is attainable. It makes it easier to attain it, to think that it's a learned behavior, and that we can undo the things that we learned and learn new ways to do things and strive for perfection.
Well, you're right. He had to learn obedience to the Father. The thing about Jesus, he wanted to from day one to learn, I guess, from the Father and to understand, you know. And David always talked about this a little bit. And he talked about Joseph, his father, taught him everything he knew. And so Joseph himself was a righteous man. And he heard the Father. He always heard the Father in dreams mostly. But he taught Jesus how to come up. And I'm sure the Lord taught Joseph what to teach him. Once we become a child of God, we have to go to this instruction book, the knowledge book. And that the book is the Bible. It's not to learn. I heard Andy say one time, he said that the Bible is not a tool of knowledge. It's not to have knowledge. It's a book of conduct. It's how we are to act. It's how we are to walk in Jesus. And I liked it because it brought it down to my level of thinking, you know. Well, yeah, we read the Word of God, and we read how Jesus lived and what the epistles say. The Paul tells us about our conduct, and Jesus told us about our conduct with him. And that teaches us how to walk as well in the steps of Jesus. It's a book of conduct. It's not just a book of knowledge. It's a book of conduct. Yeah, Leah.
Well, I'm thinking about that. Those verses that Missy read in 103, Psalm 103, and that Debbie just sang about. In verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." So he restores. If we, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. And that's what he does. He casts our sins. They're as far as from the east as from the west. So in essence, we're made righteous again by him showing grace to us and mercy. And we might even attain to the status of Jesus, like Tim was just talking about there, if we confess it. So.
Amen. I like how it starts out, Leon. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Well, everything in me should be Jesus, oughtn't it? It ought to be full of Jesus. Yeah, that's a good song. I'm glad I thought of that. Go ahead, Missy. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
I found the two places where there's that I mentioned those verses. It's Hebrews 2:10. "For it became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And then the other one is Hebrews 5, 7 to 10. Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Anyway.
Well, listen to what you said there. Having been made perfect, he was not perfect when he first came here. He learned it as time went on.
Right.
So he was not born perfect, was he?
Well, his obedience proved that he was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But having been made, he came into perfection, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
By his obedience. He was strictly obedient to God, and God loved him because of it. He is getting deep.
Yeah, it was like he was our example to say, here, God humbled himself, Jesus humbled himself and came as a babe. Grew up just like we got to do. He's gone through everything.
I can't find it.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, and just like us, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we can be perfected, you know.
Hey, Merle.
By faith, you know, we're dead on. Just reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. The old man. Buried in baptism and raised in newness of life. You know?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Is Merle still in there? Hey, Merle. Julie, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, can I hear? Yeah, I mute myself. He had just got home from work just a little bit ago, and so Fudge is like, okay, it's time to play, and she's pestering him. She's trying to find one of her toys, and he has her looking around for it. It's funny.
Okay.
Anyway.
Dog and daddy playing, okie dokie. All right, anybody else? Does somebody have a comment on anything else that they wanted to talk about? We've got a few minutes left.
I'd like to just suppose something. You think about Jesus growing up, how he would read the Bible or read the scrolls, and at what point do you think he realized he was reading about himself, and did he find comfort in the scriptures for maybe a mission that was ahead of him? What clues did he get? And I think about looking at a child that is growing in grace, and a child that is, you know, we're all born selfish. We're all born screaming for what we want and taking stuff away from other babies and being out for self. But when you see a child, a baby, give something, you know, another kid steals its binky or something, and it gives something away, you know, what pride a father has in seeing a heart of compassion and seeing a heart to give instead of take, and how maybe Jesus felt the love of the Father through the Word and through living a life that every step he took was just correct. And as he grew in grace, he wanted to be on that path, and something kept him in that goodness and that love. I just tried to picture the Father's love and the acceptance, and you know, maybe even the aloneness. Maybe he learned through suffering. Maybe it was because he was in a wilderness his whole life. He didn't feel like this was his home. Maybe he felt like the only comfort he could get was in the scriptures, because that is where the power of the mission was coming from. You know, I don't want to say that any of this is scriptural that I'm saying, but I try to imagine, you know, I just think of our own lives, how we mess up so much if we step outside of the love of the Father and the mission that he has for us in Christ. But if we will put ourselves in the depth of his heart and wrap it around us, so all that we want is to not be seen, but for him to have preeminence, then there's so much protection and there's so much just peace from being wrapped in the love and the knowledge that we have when we get deep in the Word. There's nothing from the outside world that can get to us, because we have so many promises and so much depth of peace and standing on the rock of his Word, that you know, the winds come and the storms and everything that tries to beat us off of our position, but we find ourselves just wrapped so tight in God and what he's got for us, that even our own family, you know, it's like the more they squeal and scream and claw at us, we just have peace, and it imparts peace, whether it's the workplace or what we're going through. You know, in a prison, Paul imparted peace to the whole place and ended up breaking it out and saving people through praise. And I just, you know, that's where my heart is tonight. I'm reading Psalm 29, and it's talking about the awesomeness of God. Ascribe unto the Lord glory, do unto his name. And the end of that psalm says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I just find myself, you know, wanting to get lost in the greatness of God, and to be in Christ is to be in part of something so much bigger than us, you know. And how special are we to be that remnant, that small group of people on the planet that God has given favor to respond correctly to the gospel, because there's so many people that are reaching for everything the world's got to offer, and we find ourselves slapping our own hand away from what the world would give us, saying, give me Jesus. You know, what else is there? There's nothing else but the life that he gives. We find ourselves limiting ourselves more and more, because we know we're in a time when everything, nothing is attractive except what he has for us. So, Lord, keep pouring out your Spirit on us, on everyone here. Lock us into your end time plans for us. And, Lord, help other people when they see us, not see us as kooks, but see us as people with a heart that's sincere towards God, that wants to deny ourselves so that we can offer life to those around us. And let them see that life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that was a good prayer to just close us out tonight, George. Thank you so much. That was inspiring to me. The whole night has been. Thank everybody that participated. I like them songs too. One of these days I'll sing a song up here. I'll run everybody out of here. Praise God. Y'all be blessed and be praying for the next, for Thursday night, to what God wants to, what he wants to talk about. Be praying. Be praying for the president too. Y'all be blessed. Let me get everybody unmuted here. All right. Y'all be blessed.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.